We bring you the newest and most talked about movies that are coming to theater this week. It is weekly premiere. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Molly.
What do you think about all this?
Lovely.
We have this
Those of
lovely
you who cannot see the studio, we have all the Christmas ornaments here.
I know. How about you?
I don't,
you never had them?
I don't do this. I only put up this round flower thing at the office. That's it.
Oh, okay. How are you doing?
Cold and scared.
Scared of what?
We're a little worried. I mean, they just found a new variant in Korea, too.
Yes, right. Like 7 people, right? As of yesterday.
Five, I think.
Five.
But apparently, there's some studies show that this new variant, Omicron,
That's not really fatal as much as
I hear it's quite light. So symptoms are quite light. So some people are actually saying that this might end the corona.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that reliable source?
Some German doctor said that. So
okay.
Hopefully he's right.
I know. So we have this news. I mean, yeah, it's an annual thing. We have this film awards called Cheongyong Yeongwasang.
Right, it's a season for awards. And most of the award ceremonies are held in December.
Right.
Usually towards the end of December. Mm-hmm. But
so it's one of those year-end events.
You know, but these days, because of the pandemic, the dates are all, you know, different now. So, but this Blue Dragon Awards, which we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
This happened just recently.
Let's talk about this a little. So when did this start? I think it's been pretty long.
It actually started in 1963.
So that's basically like 50 years.
However,
more than 50
it actually
years.
Stopped in
1973. For Yushin?
I think it was a poor performance or something.
Oh, I see, okay.
And then they restarted in 1990 because the other award called Big Bell Award.
Grand Bell Award.
Grand Bell Award. Mm-hmm. It was having so much trouble.
You know, with bribing and stuff.
Things like that, yes.
So were you ever part of this film awards?
Yeah, I won the Best Picture in 2004.
Oh, with what?
Silmido.
All right. Congratulations.
Yes.
Oh, that's what hooligan meant. Johnny, congratulations.
And that film won the best director, I believe.
Was there money?
Yes.
For prize money?
Yes.
Okay. So who gets to have that? Producer?
We distributed along the crew members.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And and we won the most popular film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they have this category, but they have
Inki-sang, right?
No. The most Heungyeong-sang.
Ah, I see. I think that
was the first one that I received. They did not have that category before.
Because your film, Silmido, was the first film that went over 10 million audiences,
correct?
Right. That was record-breaking. So this year, we have a lot of stars. Seems like we have Seol Kyung-gu, Moon So-ri, all the representative Korean.
But the thing is,
actors and actresses.
There weren't enough films opened.
Mm-hmm.
But usually they pick from most bigger films than smaller films.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they have these most popular films and all that, right?
Right, that's right.
And so they actually go through the candidates and they decide on like 40.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pick these things from these candidates from the 40 different movies.
Oh, Seol Kyung-gu was in Silmido, right?
Yes, he was.
But he didn't win the best actor then?
I think he won it at other film festivals, but
I see. Cheongyong.
Right.
So this year, the best director went to
Lee Seung-wan, the best picture and the best director.
With Mogadish.
Escape from Mogadish and best supporting actor.
Mm-hmm.
And the best art direction.
Mm-hmm.
It all went to Escape from Mogadishu. I believe because that was the like only big film that opened.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at the best actress, Moon So-ri, it's from a small film called Three Sisters.
Right. Directed by Lee Seung-wan.
And also the actress, best supporting actress, went to Kim So-nyeong, which is also from Three Sisters.
Right.
So, it's and then a lot of the awards went to Book of Fish, directed by...
Oh, I see. So was Lee Junik there?
He was there, I believe. But he didn't win the best director.
I see.
I think he should have won, maybe. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about Lee Seung-wan's comeback, you know? Because he's been He's been a swamp a little bit before this one.
I don't think he... I mean, you know, the box office-wise, it wasn't too bad. But the thing is, I think he was a bit disappointed at his peer because there was a little controversy about taking over, monopolizing the screens when his last film,
Battleship Island
opened. And then all his peer went against him, saying that how can you take over so many screens? But it wasn't really his fault.
We talked about this before.
But we did. So I think he was more disappointed than being in a slump. But he did fine. He came back.
Right. And I love the film, you know? I mean, I love...
You liked it better than me.
I did?
I remember, yeah.
So what's your best movie then of the year? If you have to pick one among these nominees, what would be your...
I think The Book of Fish was probably my favorite.
What about Lee Junik? Did you ever work with him before?
I worked with him when he was not a director. He was a designer.
Designer for...
He used to design my posters.
Oh, really? Right. I think he told me that before when we met last time.
And then when he first directed and I laughed at him.
So what movie poster did he...
Oh, he did...
Did for you.
The biggest one probably is the When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, because you're supposed to get that from the original production company in the U.S., right?
We get the text-less photo.
But then you still have to do things?
Korean title and the copies and things like that. I see, and also credits. Not only that, that's what he did.
Well, back in the like 1990s.
Well, sometimes we have to change the design.
Oh, I see.
So we did a lot of that back then. And he's done most of my imports when I was importing films. Back then. Then I never thought he would be such a big director.
But he was talented, though.
He was quite talented, and he has some talented people with him, too.
He used to work at Seoul Cinema, didn't it?
Yes, in the beginning. And then he came out and then set up his own company called, I forgot, Cine something.
Cine World. Yeah. I think he still has that company.
Right. And he uses it as a production company now.
Right.
Download the Arirang Radio app on your device for free.
It's Arirang. A-R-I-R-A-N-G Radio.
So what do we have for our first pick of the this week?
We have Edgar Wright's Last Night in Soho.
I know. I've been waiting for this movie so long. Because there's so many film directors praising about this film, including Park Chan-wook and Lee Kyung-mi.
And it's in Korea, right?
Yeah.
It was actually premiered in Venice Film Festival on October 9th. September 4th. And actually, it did open in UK already in October. And so it's not really that late. It's released in, actually premiered the 9th of October and then released in 29th of October.
Okay.
So we're about a month late. So this was critically acclaimed. Because it seems like Edgar Wright like goes like between pure action films like The Baby Driver
and Shaun of the Dead,
and stuff, and also this one is a psychological horror film. They say
yes.
So is it horror or is it mystery or a thriller?
I saw some clips. I can't really tell. Yeah, because I haven't seen the full feature, but yeah, it looks like a horror film.
It's actually psychological horror probably is the right description. And I think I've read some criticism on it, and some people love it, and some people says it's okay. And the performance of the actors and actresses are great.
I mean, for us as Koreans, this is special film because this, this was shot by Korean cinematographer.
Jung Jung-hoon, who was Park Chan-wook's cinematographer.
Right. She did Old Boy and Vengeance Trilogy, and she also he also did Shinsege, The New World.
And his wife.
You know her?
Yeah. she is I can't say her name, but she's a Japanese Korean.
Oh, I didn't know that. And, I thought she was Korean American.
Korean Japanese, Korean Japanese, and her first work was at my company.
Oh, so she's in movie business then.
She was, yeah.
She was,
yeah.
Okay.
She was with me for almost 6-7 years, and she helped me out on all my Japanese. You know, when I'm shooting like a first Virgin Snow with Lee Joon-gi and Miyazaki Aoi in 2006, and she was my assistant basically.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So that's how you got to know Jung Jong-un then?
No. And then she left the company and she went to work for other places. And, you know, she did a lot of coordination between Japan and Korea afterwards. And she got to know a lot of the Japanese actors through that. And I think they made a set of something. I don't know.
This is pretty cool thing, you know, watching Korean cinematographer going to U.S. and making a difference.
Because Old Boy was such a big thing in the Western world, you know. And there some of the cinematography was quite unique at the time. So
right.
And he's done a great job with the other things he shot there. So
I really liked what he did for It, the Stephen King's film adaptation. He was phenomenal there.
And this one too. I mean, of course, the production design is fantastic because it portrays 1960s setup, and it was perfect, basically. And actually, this film is about a psychological thriller. I mean, this is a woman, Ellie, who sees and feels the other side, basically. And she actually falls asleep and goes back to 60s and actually witnesses a murder. And she's trying to relive the life of this character named Sandy and trying to solve a murder, mystery of a murder of this lady, Sandy. But there's a big twist at the end. So they have to portray 60s, which she was actually dreaming about, thinking that 60 was great, wish I could be there. But thing is, it soon realizes, you know, everything that she dreamed about was not right, because the woman was treated badly, because Sandy was actually being prostituted by some people.
And it sounds like there's a lot of dream sequences. And somehow,
yeah, that's how she's passed.
Somehow it just reminds me of Mulholland Drive by David Lynch. Although this sounds more straightforward.
Actually, I heard that this film was influenced by some movie in 60s, which stars Terrence Stamp. Poor something, but I'm not sure.
But anyways, we don't have many Korean movies this week, so this might be a catch for some audiences, because he's pretty popular with Baby Driver.
You're right. And also, he was offered Baby Driver's sequel right away.
Oh, I see.
But he didn't want to do chase movies back-to-back, so he wanted to have a little term. So he actually did another film. This one, it's called Sparks Brothers. And then this one. So I think probably next one will be the Baby Driver too.
Oh, I see. I mean, definitely he's one of the rising stars.
And he's a great writer too, you know.
Oh, he wrote this movie?
No, he co-wrote The Adventures of Tintin with Steven Spielberg.
Right.
And he co-wrote Ant-Man.
Right.
So he's a good writer also.
Yeah, he had quite a talent. All right, now we're moving on to our second newbie.
Called Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Who are you going to call Ghostbusters?
Right. This is one of my favorite films.
Right. You just told me you saw the original one when you were in college, right?
Just out of the college, yeah.
So do you remember the moment?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I remember loving it. And
who did you go with to
I
see
remember.
The film? Okay.
And two films that actually from my childhood or when I was young. This one and Back to the Future was my favorite.
Right.
And also the music from this was such a big hit.
Right.
And
how much was the movie ticket?
Back then it was probably $4 or $5.
Okay. I think it was $12 bucks when I lived in the States. So now it's going to be like 20 then?
Right. There's an interesting fact about this new movie. It's directed by Jason Reitman.
Oh! He's back! Oh my God. Jason Reitman is like, you know, dinosaur.
No. See, Ghostbusters original first one and second one was directed by his father called Ivan Reitman.
Oh, right. I was confused.
So you're thinking about Ivan.
Right, the father. Right. Oh, so he's the son?
Yeah, son directed the sequel.
So, oh, that's touching.
So this is a direct sequel of the first two movies. And actually there are four films
so far. And
so far. Well, there's a third one, which is a female-driven reboot called Ghostbusters Answer the Call.
Yeah, that came out in 2016, I think.
Yes, and they were trying to actually make an actual sequel, but the members did not... original members did not want to come back, especially Bill Murray. So they decided to do a female-driven
one. He's too old for the role, you know?
I know, but I'm sure they would have made this. They're all in it, this one.
Oh, really? As a cameo, right?
Except, they actually have a pretty big role at the end.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Maybe
that was a spoiler?
Yeah, spoiler. But anyways, I think this movie... They decided to do it because this movie feels like it's a homage to the late Harold Ramis,
who passed away
in 2014. So at the end of the movie, actually, when the movie finishes, it says "For Harold." Subtitle.
That's touching.
And this is basically about his daughter. And
whose daughter?
Harold Ramis played.
His
daughter and the granddaughters, granddaughter and grandson, who were completely abandoned, they feel.
Oh, I see. So the story doesn't take place in Manhattan.
No, it's some boony town in Oklahoma.
I see.
Where this Harold Ramis character was living. And, the daughter and the grandchildren felt like they were completely abandoned by the father. And later on, they find out there was a reason why and all that stuff. And in the meantime, they have to move into his house because her house was foreclosed. So that's all they had. So they move into this boonies in Oklahoma. And he was thought of as a crazy scientist by everybody in the neighborhood. And they go through the strange things and they find the old equipment. And all really weird phenomenons, and then they try to figure out or deal with this strange phenomena.
So it looks like we have Paul Rudd for this one as a main character. He's the son in the movie.
That's the school teacher.
Oh, he's a school teacher.
Yeah, he's a school teacher of the granddaughter.
You know, he's my favorite actor. You know him, right?
Yeah.
He's voted for the hottest man alive.
Really?
This year by People magazine.
He's pretty funny in this movie, by the way.
That's what he does.
The school teacher who's a teacher of the daughter's, the children, the young daughter, who is also a scientist.
I see.
She's very smart. She's only 12 and she figures out everything.
What about the ghost? Because that's kind of the signature element for this series.
Actually, if you've seen the first two, then you know what it is. It's second one. There was a very wicked, big character at the end, which is played by, possesses Sigourney Weaver.
At the end of
actually coming back alive at the end.
Oh, here?
Yeah.
Oh, so Sigourney Weaver is going to be there then.
It's played by some other actress. However, there's Sigourney Weaver's in it. Somehow, I'm not going to tell you how she's in it.
Because I can see her name on the credit right now. So it's
she appears when the credit comes out.
Ah, I see. What about Dan Aykroyd?
They all come out.
Oh, I see. This is exciting, you know.
But the whole story seems like, for me, it does... does follow the original story. However, it felt like a children's adventure movie more than, first two.
Right. You know, I think I'm going to check out this movie in theater because I have so much love for this one, especially as a childhood memory.
By the way, the first one cost $30 million to make.
So that was pretty expensive then, right?
And it grossed $300 million worldwide.
Why? That's like 7 times more? Or 10. 70? Oh, 10. I see. That was pretty profitable then.
Well, that's how the Hollywood films usually do at the time.
Right. I don't know about this one, though.
This one already grossed over $100 million already.
That's pretty good job.
Okay. I think the audience likes it better than the critics.
I'm definitely going to go and check it out. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
And have fun in Sokcho and be safe.
Thank you.
And bring something. Sokcho.
I'll bring some squid.
All right. I would love to have that squid. Thank you, Jonathan. I'll see you next
week. Bye. See you next week.
You just listened to Weekly Premiere. We'll be back with exciting new movie next week. So please come back.